Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
Now, how do you negotiate? How do you get God to change his mind? Let me tell you how he changes his mind. Not by your faith, but by your track record. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis.
That's in the Old Testament.
Chapter 18. One of the most phenomenal chapters, I think, ever penned by the Holy Spirit writer. And what we preach so much, so many, quote, of the faith misunderstand us. And if you heard Brother Copeland last night ministering on, when he got to Ephesians, I thought he gonna blow the roof off this church, because Ephesians is such a phenomenal book. People are asking me all the time, what do we do? Wall Street's down. We just got another real bad economic thing. They thought they were gonna lose about 540,000 jobs this month. Now we lost 589,000. The euro's down, the pound's down, dollar's come up a little bit. Oil said it's supposed to go back up, blah, blah. What are we gonna do? So people write us and ask us all the time and say, you don't seem to be affected in those things you do. In anything I have, not that I have more faith than anybody, because I don't. But I've learned that in Christianity or in God that, and you can write this down to help you, life is defined by relationships. Life is totally defined by relationships. When life is good, relationships are good. When life is bad, relationships are bad. So it makes no difference about what's happening out there. What makes a difference is how is your relationship to your Father or to God, your Father? Because if your relationship is good, then whatever happens to you will become good. It's an automatic. Now notice when, as I said earlier, faith is the cement that holds society together, secular or spiritual. When fear comes, and I've said it many times, fear is a lack of spirit strength. Your spirit becomes weakened by fear. It's a lack of spirit strength. It just simply is. That's all it is to it. So how do you walk through these times? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So we're not supposed to stop, build a house, and canonize the place. We're supposed to walk through it, right? Well, how do we react? How does God meet our needs, our desires, our wants, whatever he's calling us to do? And if you notice, during tough times, he doesn't change the vision that he gave you. He don't care if it costs. It doesn't make any difference to God. He changed not. But it makes all the difference to you if your relationship with him is not on a good order. And when you look at Genesis 18, what made, in my opinion, what made Abraham such a father of faith, that we're the seed of Abraham today, because of his relationship with God. What made Moses the man that he was his relationship with God. What made Joshua what he was, all the prophets, the minor prophets as well as the major prophets. Jesus, what made him the Son of God, his relationship with the Father, his understanding of his place, whether you believe in the Trinity or not, in the Trinity, and how he functions and operates as God. So let me say it again. Life is good when relationships are good. It's the same way in your marriage. Your marriage is good if your relationship's good. Your marriage is bad if your relationship is bad. And I want to tell you, it affects everything that comes in front of you. This chapter, chapter 18, shows you the relationship that Abraham has developed with God to the point of challenging God and expecting an answer. And that's amazing to me. And I want to read here in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about ready to do? This is the Sodom and Gomorrah situation that's about ready to show up. Verse 18, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. For I have known him. Notice he said he didn't believe in him. He knew him. Now, there are a lot of people believe in me, but they don't know me. You may know about me. You got to know me to truly understand how I function and how I operate. And that's done by relationship. That's done by fellowship, which is another level of relationship. You see, he said, for I have known him. So they spent time together. In order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness, justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And verse 20, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Or in other words, God says, it can't be that bad. I got to go down there myself and see this. I mean, that's how far and low people sunk into depravity. Now, you may think that's homosexuality. That's just one area of depravity. See what I'm saying? Now, some people can get mad at me about that, but that's just true. I had a homosexual there. He says, I was born that way. I said, no, you wasn't. No, you cannot be born homosexual. Now, I will grant you this. You may not know when you became a homosexual. I'll grant you that. Or you may not even know how you became, but you wasn't born that way because you were born to create. You were born in the image of God to create. And if homosexuality was a birth thing constantly, eventually the human race would stop. If you were a true homosexual, which means you ain't messing with no women. Because I don't care what you do, two men are not going to make a baby. You see, you get to that point, something going to, right. So, but I'll grant you this, sir. You may not know when, I will grant you that. Or you may not know how, I will grant you that. You know, and of course, I went into another discussion. That's another thing there. But I mean, he said, so you hate me. I said, no, you said that. I didn't say that. Don't ever put words in my mouth. I don't hate nobody but the devil. I said, and I mean that sincerely. I said, I'll buy you dinner. That's not the issue. I'm not afraid to be seen with you. Now, kind of like Mark Barkley, you put your hand on my knee, that's a different thing. Because you're sending me signals here. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to get into that. But anyway. So God says, I got to go down there and see it myself. So Abraham knew the Lord was disturbed. Title of this message today is The Boldness to Negotiate. See, we had a lot of hard times out here. Now, how do you negotiate? How do you get God to change his mind? Let me tell you how he changes his mind. Not by your faith, but by your track record. What you've done in the past, what he can rely on when he tells you to do something. And Abraham has a track record of obeying God. A track record. Now, he may mess up sometimes, but his track record is very sound. So it shows you his relationship has developed to a point that he can talk to God about things he may not understand and even challenge God concerning God's decisions concerning us. Because his track record yields results. His track record just yielded results. And God, and he made some mistakes, and all people do. But I'm just saying was, he had the boldness to negotiate because he had some evidence behind him that I am your man, and you know that. So he says this, and it's a very phenomenal statement because you're talking to El Elyon. You're talking to God here. You're not talking to Jesse. You can blow him off. This is God. He says, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Whoa, man, you know who you're talking to? And then the negotiation starts. Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Now, verse 25 is the crowning verse. It shows you his understanding of his relationship with God, that it's good. Because now he's speaking things that, I haven't grown to that point. I don't know if I could say that. He says it, for it be from you to do such a thing as this. Whoa, boy. To slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous shall be as the wicked. For it be from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Another translation says, will the great God do right? Now you think about that. Would you say that to God? I'd have a hard time saying that. But you see, his relationship is right with God. His track record is right with God. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You can't be perfect in a moment, but you can be holy in a moment. Now, his track record's right. He's kept himself. So now he can, for lack of a better term, challenge God. I haven't done it on that level, But when things have gone wrong in areas, I said, wait a minute. You said, he said, are you going to remind me of my word? That is correct. And I said, you are my God. I consider you a personal God to me. He said, that's correct. I said, now I put you in remembrance of every word. And Paul wrote it to the church at Philippi. My God, personal, shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. But Wall Street, I don't care about that. My God. So in that verse shows me his ability to supply his need, the willingness to supply the need, and the obligation on him to do so. Now that'll preach 3 hours right there if you want to do that. You see that? That ability is in that verse, that willingness to supply is in that verse, and the obligation for him to do what he says is in that verse. But that can't happen unless you say, my God, relationship. Life's good when relationship's good. It's defined by that. So he comes to him and says, because he's got his nephew down there that done messed up some areas, and he don't want Lot to be destroyed. Now, Lot's a weird name to me. His mama must have had real estate on her mind I don't know how you could call a boy Lot. You know, who knows? But you know, people get some weird names in life. But his relationship, his boldness to negotiate was produced by his track record. Now, without sounding prideful, I've never had a financial deficit in my ministry. I'm going in 31 years. Never. Now, I believe some things that some of you Word of Faith people don't believe. And I'll just be honest with you. I believe in the hundredfold. Some of y'all believe in optimum yield. Sounds good. Which means optimum yield means if you sell something in a down economy, you probably will get more money for it than the person on the block. But that's it. No. And the reason I can't, because that puts limitations on God's ability, God's obligation and willingness to supply that. Because you see, and I have honestly studied the hundredfold. And for me to believe optimum yield, I just can't seem to get to change the color of that ink. It's red. I've tried to change the color of that ink. Well, you know, because of circumstance. No, it's red. That's what Jesus said. Now either he lying or you lying, I pick you. I can't change the color of that red. So that, now you see, to us, when we're in the black, that's profitable. But in Jesus' thinking, when he's in the red, it's profitable. You see how he thinks so the opposite of everything Jesus says. I've tried to change the color of that ink, but couldn't. So I realized that I must believe that color. You see what I'm saying? Now, for me to say this to God, you have to do this. My track record had to be right. My ministry is sexually pure. My ministry is financially pure. And I've had great opportunities to sin. Don't look at me weird. I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? Girls, I could be their daddy. They think I got money. They right. But that's not my money. That's Kathy money. I've learned that, buddy. You see what I'm saying? Had many opportunities. Had many opportunities to invest in people who wanted to covenant with me. When God explicitly told me in the Psalm, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But they got a lot of money. I don't care. Are you saved? Do you know God? Do you understand what we believe? Well, no, then I don't care how good you are. I am not going to covenant with you. Now, you can take that like you want. But my track record has proven I haven't had that kind of problem in the midst of the problem. Now, I haven't got where Abraham had, but I'm not worthy to latch his shoelaces. But I'm just saying, I begin to see that. I needed to know God instead of just know about him. What he's obligated to do for me, what am I obligated to do for him? Just that simple. So when he said, will the great God do right? Oh, man, that shocked me when I first read that. How could this man say that to God? Because of his relationship and fellowship with God. So he had boldness to negotiate over his nephew. even though his nephew shouldn't have been there. Because if you read the scripture, the Bible said Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. The next time you read about Lot, he's right slap in the middle of Sodom. Why? Because the old cliche, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, charge you more than you want to pay. All right, write this down. Great favors can only be asked based upon your past conduct. If some of you are having financial trouble, what has your past conduct been? What is your relationship? If you want great favors from God, you're gonna have to have a good conduct. That doesn't mean God doesn't forgive you, but I want to tell you something. He knows that track record. He knows what you will do. So great favors can only be asked based upon your past conduct. So I'm very careful about my conduct, that I don't put myself in positions that my conduct can be challenged. You see what I'm saying? You have to do those things. Sometimes it's very aggravating. I've had rumors said I was with another woman at Houston's, and that was true. I was with my daughter. I only have one daughter. I only have one child. And she wanted to take me out to dinner. And Jody's a pretty girl. Now, if you see her, you got to be an idiot not to realize she's not my daughter, because we look a lot alike. She's a lot prettier, but I'm just saying, you can see that. But I mean, my God, I've drank Perrier's and hit the paper that I was drinking wine and booze. So now when I get a Perrier to help them, don't bring me the bottle. Bring me a glass with some ice. It's not for my benefit, but for yours. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes those are aggravating things to me. I don't like that. But sometimes you have to understand that these people are looking at you, so you do the best you can to keep their minds from going crazy. So God has done me some wonderful things in my life, and I've had some ministers get very jealous and mad at me, and they thought I was bragging. No, I was giving glory to God. Me and Leroy Thompson in the state of Louisiana, we criticize probably us two preachers more than anybody else because we got some money. I don't mean that pridefully. We blessed. Oh, gee. Now, I mean, we get nailed to the wall all the time. They call us ebony and ivory. I mean, you know, oh, yeah. Ebony up there, he got all that money. Ivory, oh, gee. It's something. But yet, when they get in trouble, they call us. When they need a plane, they call us. When everything going wrong, get them to. And we laugh about it, but it's just truly amazing. They hate prosperity till they don't have any. Then they put on that Pentecostal look, won't you help us? Won't you help us? I say, help me. I say, help me. Your mama. I ain't helping you. Get out of here. You know, because we know you're going to take our money and cut us as soon as we turn around. But yet, if God tells us to do it, we just do it anyway. Leroy may be here tonight. Leroy owns a lot of cattle and things like that. And how many times he's rode his own horse, and because of the color of his skin, some people told him, you ought not be on this land. Leroy is a very humble man. People don't think he is. He is. He said, no, sir. This is my land. Your land? There's my horse, these are my cattle. And white people look real stupid when they put both feet in their mouth. Because it fits very well. I mean, just fit. But we run across, and then I'm a Cajun, which means you're not educated. You're like a gorilla hanging from trees down there. You talk like that, I'm going to throw you something. You know, and so they think, well, you know, you can't do this and do that. And yet, it gets done. And the reason for it is track record, the boldness to negotiate. So great favors can only be asked based upon your past conduct. You see, when you have known God long enough, there are no favors too large to ask. Write it down. When you've known God long enough, there are no favors too large to ask. I asked the Lord to help me in my magazine. I'm a man, you know, I departmentalize and corporatemanalize, if that's the right word, to make sure different things. And I'm not just saying these figures and things, but our magazine goes to over 360,000 households in 126 countries. Our partner letter, 432,000 go out. We do very well. I don't mean that pridefully, bragging, or God has been gracious. But I've had to ask God for some great favors. But he's also had to ask me for great favors. And prime example, you heard me say this, and I know Brother Copeland will remember it. Several years ago, I don't know, maybe 5, 7, something like that, one of my staff came and put a $15,000 check on my desk. I have learned that when finance comes into me, is this my money? I'm talking about over and above. You know, I'm not talking about the operation of the ministry with different things that people designate. I'm just talking about just all of a sudden, bam, plump of money. What do you want us to do with this? What account would you like to place this in? I said, I don't really know, but I said, I'll let you know after lunch. Okay. So I'm sitting there looking at the check, and I ask this question, Lord, is this my money? And the phone rings. Now, it's probably 5, maybe 7 years ago. And my receptionist said, Jesse, Brother Copeland's on the line. Oh, yeah, it's okay. So I said, hello, Brother Copeland. He said, hey, Jesse, how you doing? And Brother Copeland goes to a point real quickly, you know. He says, how you doing? Doing good? Yeah, listen. He said, you know, just that quick. And I like that because, you know, you're going to find out. I said, yes, sir. He said, I was praying today. I said, yes, sir. And the Lord spoke to me and said, call Jesse that Jesse will help me. I said, the Lord called Brother Copeland to tell him that I would help him. How come he couldn't call me? Why didn't he tell me? He said this, the exact words I can remember. He said that you would help him. Is that right? I said, yes, sir. He said, the Lord also moved upon me in the same matter and said, Kenneth, would you help me? I said, well, what does he want me to help? He said, Jesse, we need to get an aircraft for another ministry. And I have allocated this amount of money, and I felt led to the Lord. And the Lord said, you would help him. I felt so proud that God would tell a prophet of God that I would help him. Now, the only way that can happen is my track record's got to be right on my giving. And I said, well, Brother Copeland, how much money do we need? Yeah, I will do that. I had no idea what he was going to tell me figure-wise. I said, yes, I will. I immediately, because if the Lord said it, what are you going to do? No. I said, fine, what is it? I said, well, how much do you need to finish out this aircraft? And he gave the bulk of it. And make a long story short, he said, $15,000. Now, the check is like this. I said, Brother Coleman, I'm looking at a $15,000 check. I knew it. Bless God, I knew it. I said, I'll FedEx today. You'll have it tomorrow morning in the office. And we did, and purchased the aircraft. The thing was not the finance.
Jesse?
Yes, sir?
Make that really clear. You weren't helping me.
No, I wasn't helping. No, that's right.
God was saying that he needed your and my help.
Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't helping Brother Copeland. No, he needed Kenneth.
It was a very unusual thing.
Yes. He just needed our help. In other words, he was just looking for some obedience.
Right.
Am I correct in that?
Somebody else.
Yeah, yes. You know, and so it was a wonderful thing that I thought, man. I mean, I thought about it for days afterward. I thought, you believe I will help you. I said, that's an honor. It struck me. It blessed me more than a regular man. It wasn't just helping him. No, it was doing what we were supposed to do. And it was a wonderful call. And it was confirmed out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established, that God would say, I can rely on Jesse Duplantis. I can rely on Kenneth Copeland.
This month's partner offer is very special. It's our ministry theme, Use Your Faith Voice. God has gifted you with something that has so much creative energy and power that it can direct you to God's best for your life. Discover how to line up your words with God's words. Let Jesus use your faith voice. He will make it work for you. Go to jdm.org and get your copy today. It will bless you. Do it.
You see, heaven is wonderful. It's a big place. Then I heard this, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. The Lord walked out and his children ran up to him and began to sing praises to him. He said, go tell my people I'm coming. I brought you here to tell you, go tell them I'm coming.
Heaven, close encounters of the God kind. The testimony that has changed lives all around the world. Order yours today at jdm.org.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope today's message has brought you boldness to your spirit today. Do you know that as a believer, you have a personal invitation from God to enter His presence without fear, anytime you want to? He wants you to boldly flow in fellowship with Him. Well, how do I do that? Well, my God, He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have free access to everything God has. Come boldly through the throne of grace. Like my daughter, Jody, she's my biological daughter. I only have one daughter and one granddaughter. And yet they have free access to me at any given time. I don't care if it's day or night. Well, it's the same with us and our Heavenly Father. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a blessing of the Lord. I encourage you to go to our free JDM app and watch this message in full. It's going to bless you. Partners, I tell you what, my Our Product Offer, this is the most sold book I ever wrote. It's called Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. 1988, I went to heaven, and ladies and gentlemen, you got to go too. This thing has went all over the world. I talk about miraculous encounters I've had with the Lord beside the heaven thing. How do I get it? You just go to jdm.org and get a copy for your friend and yourself. And this year too, we're doing actually a heaven tour in some different places. So go find out about that. Partners, thank you for all that you've done for this ministry. 50 years, never had a financial deficit. Why? I trust you. You trust me. We both trust God. I say it all the time and I always will. Thank you for your faithful financial support. Nothing too small and nothing too big. We got $20 million of projects on the table. We believe in God for 20,000 people to give $1,000. Some will give more, some will give less. But it'll all come in and we'll pay it all cash. Till next week, thank you for supporting this ministry. God bless. Bye-bye.
Celebrating 50 years of vision.
Motivation and momentum is what moves a vision to completion. What you start, you finish.
It's Jesse Duplantis' 2026 Visionary Conference, July 9th and 10th at JDM International Headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana.
The world right now is now set to be touched by the power of God.
Go to jdm.org for more information.
Do you realize that God wants you to thrive, prosper, and achieve everything He's called you to do? You can and will accomplish every dream God put in your heart. Suited for Success. Order your copy at jdm.org today.
Join us the 13th through the 18th of May at the powerful 2026 Australia Outreach with Jesse and Kathy Duplantis. The 13th of May in Brisbane, the 14th of May in Canberra, the 15th of May in Melbourne, the 17th of May, Kathy at 8:30 a.m., Jesse 10:30 a.m. in Perth, the 18th of May in Sydney. Join us at the powerful 2026 Australia Outreach with Jesse and Kathy Duplantis.
To be childlike is simple, it's loving, it's trustful, and has an obedient attitude. What does it do? It makes the world young.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.